It's hard to keep track of the twists and turns in the Adani Carmichael mine saga. What is clear is that if the mine goes ahead, Adani can't do it alone. It'll rely on a web of contractors and companies to help implement the project. But who exactly are Adani's friends? Today, I'm finding out more about POSCO. In 2014, Adani named POSCO as its preferred contractor for engineering, construction and procurement for projects linked to the mine, including the rail line to get coal to the Abbott Point terminal. In 2015, as Adani failed to get the project off the ground, it suspended various contractors, including POSCO. To be fair, it's not entirely certain if POSCO is still a player. Australian company Orizon, I think that's how you say it, is also trying to muscle in on the rail line, claiming it can build it for $1 billion less than Adani. But POSCO's deep pockets, international experience, and possible potential for opening the door to financing suggest it is still an attractive partner for Adani. That, and get this, it has its own theme song. So, apart from its musical stylings, who is POSCO? POSCO is a South Korean multinational and one of the world's biggest steel producers. I looked it up on the US Securities and Exchange Commission company database and found out that POSCO's interests span industries and continents, from Poland to Vietnam, Venezuela to Kazakhstan. Like other multinationals, POSCO has a complicated structure. To keep things simple, I'll use the name POSCO to refer to any company or chain of companies which lead back to POSCO as the majority stakeholder. And although I'd never heard of them before, POSCO is no stranger to Australia, operating here since 1982, and it has big ambitions. Currently, POSCO is pushing forward plans for its Hume coal mine in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales. The mine would extract 3.5 million tonnes of coal a year, and residents say threaten a world-class aquifer, water on which local farmers rely.
Go home, Hume coal, POSCO.
Further afield, I found out POSCO has a disturbing record of shady deals with repressive governments and complicity in human rights abuses. Let's start with Uzbekistan.
One of the world's biggest producers and exporters of cotton is Uzbekistan, where the repressive government uses a system of forced labour to produce cotton on a massive scale.
Uzbekistan is a former Soviet bloc country and shares a border on its east with Afghanistan. For decades, the Uzbek government has operated one of the largest state-orchestrated systems of forced labour in the world.
At harvest time, Uzbek citizens, such as teachers and doctors, are forced out of their regular jobs to spend weeks in the fields picking cotton.
1 million adults, and even children, work the fields for little or no pay. More than 270 companies have joined a global boycott against Uzbek cotton, including IKEA, Kathmandu, and H&M. Despite the outcry, POSCO continues to own and operate 3 cotton factories in Uzbekistan and is the world's largest processor of Uzbek cotton.
The police beat his head with a stack of documents while shouting that cotton is the wealth of the nation.
In India, in June 2005, POSCO signed an MOU with the government of Orissa to build a $12 billion steel plant. The project would displace tens of thousands of people from land and homes where they had lived and worked for generations.
POSCO has offered less than 1% of a farmer's cumulative earning potential in return for giving up his land, his home, and his livelihood.
Villagers peacefully resisting the project were forced to live under siege-like conditions. Many people did not leave their home villages for 6 or 7 years under fear of arrest and violence. I can't even imagine what that's like. At least 4 villagers were killed in bomb blasts in 2010 and 2013, with witnesses reporting bombs were thrown by pro-POSCO supporters. One lawyer for the community estimates that 3,000 charges have been laid against non-violent protesters. Despite the violence, killings and abuse, it took POSCO over a decade to fully withdraw from the project, only formally relinquishing the land in early 2017. Closer to home, POSCO has come under fire for its palm oil operations in West Papua. Using satellite images, in early 2017, Greenpeace showed that in just 5 years, POSCO has cleared 19,000 hectares of forest. That's the equivalent of 16,500 Lang Park rugby fields. POSCO joins a slew of palm oil companies participating in a mass land grab in West Papua. As you can imagine, it's hard to get information and the details are sketchy. I found activist reports that palm oil land grabs in the Moroki region, where POSCO operates, have destroyed local food systems and sacred sites, polluted rivers, increased disease, and frequently involve state-sanctioned violence.
Spreading hope to everyone. This is POSCO.
So while we don't know the details of POSCO's dealings with the Dani, we can be fairly sure that POSCO won't be scared off by a project mired by controversy, the backtracking of democratic processes, environmental devastation and human rights abuses. Welcome to the POSCO family.